Hi, besties, and welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens,
a show where we talk about all things drag because we are semi-qualified to do so.
I'm Juicebox.
And I'm Cynthia Kiss.
And welcome to 100 episodes of Semi-Qualified Queens.
We're 100.
100 episodes. Wow. Look at us. Beautiful, gorgeous, amazing, talented.
There are 52 weeks in a year, and for the last two, Semi-Qualified Queens has not skipped a beat. SQ Cuties, we are so happy to be in your ears every single week. We hope you enjoy the podcast as much as we enjoy making it. This would not be possible without our superstar editor, Anthony, who since joining the Semi-Qualified Queens team has gone off to help other drag queens podcasts. And I couldn't be more proud. I love seeing our editor thrive, but he is a huge part of how this is possible because a podcast, it's a balancing act. You know, you gotta fit it in. We've got two time zones. We've got 3-hour mm-hmm. workouts mm-hmm. for Juice. You know, I gotta listen. For audio listeners, she just flexed her muscles, and I just felt something. It's happening.
Today was chest day. Chest day.
So it's a ton of work, but we love doing it, and I cannot believe it's been 100 episodes. Like, that blows my mind.
That's crazy. When I found out it was 100 episodes, I was just like, wow, we could have been doing so many other things with our time, but here we are.
Oh, totally. Like, when you tally it up, it's like thousands of hours.
Thousands of hours. I know.
We could have learned a language.
I love that. And special shout out to Anthony, who actually just worked on Boa's new podcast, Boga. Very fun.
Let's see if she hits the big 100.
Well, maybe with the blessing of Mr. Anthony.
It's going to be possible. I listened. Did you listen to the first episode?
I got halfway through and then I got busy, but I will finish the first episode. It's great. She's doing great so far. Love it.
I love it. I like her energy. Someone asked mm-hmm. me, they were like, is it really about wellness? And I was like, no, girl. Like, she's drag queen. Like, let her reference, drag queen. You know, whatever the hell she wants. I thought it was great. I think she was a little inspired by Semi-Qualified Queens. She does a rapid fire. She does a this or that at the end of her episodes.
Oh. Because we are original. We are the
We invented
movement.
That. We invented that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No one else did it before us.
No, I'm telling you. We should have patented this.
And I'm telling you, I'm not going.
100 episodes later, no smarter. Still semi-qualified.
But still, I loved it. Deliberately spreading this information all over the internet.
So huge congrats. I wouldn't want to do this with anyone else. Juicebox, you make love me you. Better. I love your tenacity, your ability to teach me how to use online programming and be patient with my terrible Wi-Fi connection.
Oh, and Cynthia, you make me better. You make me patient. You make me more positive. You make me softer. You make me not so high strung as some of my Toronto sisters.
Ooh, shade. Ooh. I also love the choice of the word patient. First thing that comes to your mouth, you're like, girl, you be testing me.
You make me patient. No, you're very easy to work with. You're very easy to work with. I have worked
likewise. What's been bothering you lately? What's on your mind?
I find out tomorrow if I pass my exam.
Oh my God, I'm nervy for you.
So that's really nerve-wracking. But what has been on my mind mostly is we are going on tour.
Oh, hell yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. So luckily, with the help of Freddie, we are going to be going on Semi-Qualified Queens live all throughout Canada. We have announced our West Coast dates first, and we will be announcing our East Coast dates in the next coming month. But very excited. We are going to be hitting Victoria, Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary. So please get your tickets today. Huge shout out to Freddie for making this possible. Very exciting. Freddie is a once-a-day pill that allows you to protect yourself against HIV and AIDS. And if you are a sexually active adult, no matter what, gay, straight, whatever, if you are sexually active with multiple partners, you should be taking Freddie.
Yeah, it's actually very cool. And we love the support. This tour would not be possible without them. So if you are looking for a last minute holiday gift, give a digital
Qualified Queens Live
ticket to Semi-Qualified Queens Live. It's going to be what a fabulous full of laughs, singing, some hot tea, and you know, then you'll know who's talking. Sometimes on this podcast, people can't tell, but in person, there's no way
where
around.
We will look vastly different. Different girls,
different
on
girls.
Stage, different girls. But yeah, that's mostly what's been on my mind is the tour. I'm building out a show in my hometown really soon, so I'm very. Oh my god, I burped. I'm really excited about that, and yeah,
that's so fun. When's that show going to be? Before or after the tour?
June 6th, though, after the tour. It's
gonna be for Pride. Way later. Okay, cool.
Way later. Yeah, yeah.
You scared me. I was like, wait, what? Yeah, we're gonna be busy.
You were like, you haven't told me about this one.
You're testing my patience.
What do you mean? But with that being said, should we dive right into the episode? It's a big one.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's dive
hell
in.
Hell
yeah. This season, can I just say, I think it's my favorite season of Canada's Drag Race.
Guaranteed. 100%.
Like, it has everything. It's got your classic over-the-top reality TV fighting. The queens know what they're doing. And it doesn't feel like self-producing. It just feels like everyone is feeling their emotions really big on camera. And no one's, like, shying away from doing so. I absolutely love it. I think it's so much fun. Untucked was legendary last week.
I gotta say, though, I don't think that magic would be there without Melinda.
But this is what I mean. Like, Melinda, like, I don't know. She, like, stirred the pot. From here on out, walking off set will now be known as pulling a Melinda. She loves to do it. She loves to walk off set. We find out last week that, obviously, she was saved by the Golden Beaver. And then the girls come back into the workroom. It's kind of the Canadian version of an Untucked, which this season is proving Canada deserves an Untucked.
100%.
Like, look at the drama we're getting. It barely fits into the episode. It was a double save, though. So Amy is still there. And a lot of the queens are thinking, pourquoi? Why is this happening? You know, certain queens are miffed. It's tricky in a situation when you get a double save because it's like, okay, all of that work this week, Gorge, and no difference in headcount. Like,
yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I love you, you're my friend, you're my sister, I want you to be here, but also I would love to finish this, you know?
100%. And in this room, it was a little less I love you and a little more I want to scream at your face.
Oh, all of them. Like, even Denim was just like, you made the wrong decision, Diva. Like, yeah. Just she said she had no holds bar, was just like, no, you should have sent Melinda home. I was like, whoa.
Aren't we going to talk about the fact that someone in this room doesn't want to be here?
Like, just, but even like when Melinda stormed off, Denim was straight up just like, sorry, Diva, you made the wrong decision. Just like, I was like, oh, these girls do not care. I was just
totally.
Like,
would you ever walk off set? Would you ever storm off set?
Fun. I was gonna say, if I was just like, it's one of those things where, you know, who said it? Delta worked at an interview recently, and she said she was never produced. She was never told by producers to do anything. She was never told by producers to say anything. She was like, but they did say, we filmed for 14 hours this day, we filmed from 14 hours the next day, and we're only getting an hour's worth of television. So if you are not entertaining, you might not be here long. So, like, if I felt like I needed a beat and I needed a moment and I needed to stick around a bit more, I might storm off.
Could you imagine doing it at really weird times, like in the middle of, like, the reading challenge?
No, I wouldn't be unprofessional, you know? Like, I would do it. I would find the right beat to do it. And with
Speaks
that all
Maxi
being said...
challenge, storms off the set.
Yeah, storms off the set. And with that being said, my panic attack was real. I have had a couple of people tell me that my panic attack was just for camera time. No, Jeez, some of us have anxiety disorders.
It was 100% fake. You just wanted your moment.
I literally have had people come up to me and be like, so what was it like faking your panic attack for camera time? And I was just like, what the fuck?
I don't think we've talked about this before, but I feel like it's appropriate. I didn't know you as well when you were on your season. And I did secretly think you were pulling
You fucking bitch.
I thought you were doing one final, like, I'll give them reality TV, like, a moment. So I thought, I did think you were faking it.
You fucking bitch.
But then you, I met you, bitch. And then I saw how, like, you know, you explained it in such a genuine way that I was like, okay, that was real. But at the time, I was like, oh, that's my girl juice. I was actually proud of you because I was like,
oh, thank you.
I was like, yeah, give it. Like, give them something. Like, shake like a dog. I was just like...
And then I met you and I saw how unstable you were. And I thought, oh, no, oh, that was real. That was real.
So we get it. We're in the workroom, and I feel like Melinda's just like, she's kind of calming down. And then Venus just says, okay, but I have one rule. You never get to pull that again. She says in line, like, you never get to say that again. You never say that. You never get to say you don't want to be here again.
She says, you can never say that again.
Right. And those that words,
turns Melinda to a bomb. She just
like, I have never seen someone see red so clearly captured on camera. Like, she was,
she was calming down,
and then she just went right back to 100, and it was, that's when she walked off. That's what she pulled a Melinda.
Fabulous.
I love it. What if she was just hungry and she wanted to go to craft services? She's like, you know what? I need a Mott's fruit station.
You got to go to craft services? I didn't.
What do you mean? Oh, well, it's there all the time.
No.
Like in the kitchen?
No.
That's why you were shaking. Low blood sugar.
I couldn't just be like, BRB, going to craft services. They'd be like, get wrecked. Keep sewing.
Yeah. Well, like, I don't know. It was just funny. Her second walk-off was like camp. I liked the second
The second walk-off where she was just like, I'm done. My favorite thing about a walk-off is the producers that they don't put on.
Yes.
Where she's obviously talking to a producer, but then you just hear her voice. That's my favorite part.
Mm-hmm. Kiki is slightly regretting her choice to keep Miss Virga, Melinda, with the Golden Beaver.
Yeah. She's just like, maybe I made a mistake. I think I'm like, fucked up. Yeah.
Save this one queen, and she goes like, ape shit. But again, it's really great TV. It's why this season is going so viral. So we love to see it. Want to talk about the new day in the workroom?
Yes.
Oh my God. Promise me that's your last burp. That's the last one for this episode.
Nope.
I can't with you. Okay. So it's a new day in the workroom, and we're still getting main character energy from Melinda. I feel like this is her episode. Like, there's so much screen time.
Yeah. She's getting a lot of main character vibes throughout the whole season now.
Yes. Oh, for sure. She's like this underdog that we'll see in this episode, has her arc. It's very fascinating. But we have Brooklyn come in like a slinky, drapey little blouse.
Looking very handsome.
Very handsome with a little scruff. They're going to shave later that day to become Brooklyn Heights. But for now, we've got Brock for the mini challenge. And the bibliothèque is open.
What'd you think?
I love it. I love the reading challenge. For the most part, it was just like a lot of great one-liners. No one really like clunked around, but this is a perfect example. Do you remember we were talking about Neera, how sometimes she'll like try and make a joke? It's like a swing and a miss. Like, her conviction is like, I'm saying something so funny, but it, like, it doesn't work.
That was very her in the reading challenge. She like did it and everyone was just like, okay.
She's like, Amy, you're a clown and one day you're going to die. Which is like, it just didn't make sense. So that stuck out for me in our SQQ coverage, because I know we've talked about it. I'm actually seeing Neera today. I'm having coffee with her after this. So I'm excited to see my little gorgeous sister. But it made me laugh because it reminded me of how we've chatted that she fully commits to these jokes, whether they're funny or not.
And you know what? That's all that matters, a full commitment to the joke. Denim was hilarious.
Denim was ruthless. It was, that was, she was great.
She said, taking no prisoners on this one.
No prisoners.
No prisoners.
I almost don't even remember the jokes. They were, you know, sometimes like the reads, they're so on the nose. Like, they're just so true that it's like,
But everybody was good. There wasn't any that were just like bad, bad.
No, that's the thing. I think at this point, people, they kind of know what they're doing. It's it's like a good formula. But Denim, she absolutely slayed.
And then we find out that we are playing the Snatch Game this week, and we have Snatch Game player. We have a winner in the building.
We do. Don't be nervous.
This is the episode.
Don't be nervous. Juice, stop shaking. It's okay. It's okay.
It's okay, Juice. You don't have to be so nervous.
I'm just a normal drag queen. It's only the most iconic challenge to win. Calm down.
Fuck you, bitch.
They're playing Snatch Game, and I'm so excited. It's such a fun cast. We find out there's two Jennifer Coolidges. It's a Jennifer Coolidge showdown. Kitten wants it. Nero wants it. Drama ensues.
But I think it was smart that they decided that both of them were going to keep it. You know, I like that Kitten kind of gave this like big speech about why she wanted to do it. I was like, I don't think it's that serious, but okay, you know, go off.
She pulled the I'm 57 card, and I was living for the drama. She's like, bitch,
I am 57.
Jennifer Coolidge is my age. She's inspired me. Like, she's still relevant. I actually did like her points, though, because in Hollywood, it's such an ageist industry that we work in, that to see someone like Jennifer Coolidge kind of have this resurgence, is fabulous. You know, I actually think it's inspiring. So in many ways, I understand why Kitten wanted it so passionately. Would you, if you were near enough, would you have switched your character?
No. Because it's the perfect opportunity to play.
Interesting. I think I would switch.
No. I would switch if there was like... if there wasn't a lot of content there, but imagine Jennifer Coolidge running into Jennifer Coolidge. How funny that would be.
I see the potential, and we'll talk about how the Snatch Game went. I just think the way that show is formatted, it's like you want to be your own zany character, that to like have someone be a carbon copy of you. I felt like, I don't know. I think I would switch it up. I think I would just,
let, I don't know. I would think have let that Kitten it's like,
do it. She was great.
If you want to win, I think it's smart to switch it up.
That's what I mean.
But if you're someone who's like, I'm worried about Snatch Game and I just want to make it through this week, I think it's smart to play off, because a good, successful twin duo could glide you right to safe.
Right. Okay.
Or it could glide you right to you two in the bottom. You know, it could go either way. But if you're good and you're confident in your Jennifer and the other person being able to play off you, then... I think it would be smart. So I thought it was smart that they stuck with it.
Okay. I agree. I go into Snatch Game to win, so I just...
Oh, well.
You know what? Sorry, I'm so cocky this morning. You're like, okay, Simp, let's calm down. What do we think about some of the other Queen's choices in characters?
Well, why don't we just...
Melinda playing a straight boxer, which I did not see coming.
No, it kind of gave me a surprise, because Melinda's been sort of, she's been good, but her fashion has been bad, so it's been hard to kind of, like, gauge how she's going to be with other things.
Girl after my own heart.
You know, so I was just like, I don't know how this is going to go, but, you know, we'll see.
The queens are walking through. Brooklyn didn't really, she addressed that there were two Jennifer Coolidge.
Yes, Jennifer Coolidge.
The plural.
When there is more than one, it's Jennifer Coolidge. Yes.
And then we get the best advice from Brooklyn, saying, do what you want to do and give it 100%. It's the most vague advice I've ever heard her say. I was like, that's not really, like, I feel like RuPaul will grill the girls on like actual choices, try a little bit of the material out, see if it's going to be like the real thing. Whereas Brooke was kind of just like, I don't know, I wish she actually helped them a little bit more. Like, even with Venus and Joe Exotic, it was like, you know, you can just flat out say, like, I think you should do that. You know, I felt Brooklyn, I wanted her to, like, step up a little more as, like, a mentor, a judge. Because even with Venus, it was like, but if your Joe Exotic sucks, like, I don't want to be responsible. It's like, that's a weird thing for a judge
to say. But, like, when you think about it, like, Brooke lost her Snatch Game. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like... Her advice, I think, is more rooted in this is what's going to be not successful, because she doesn't know what's going to be successful. She has not herself been successful.
That's true. You know? I get that. I actually forgot about her sketch game.
Oh, I've never forgotten about that. But I think it's good to have her kind of come in from a sense of like, here's what not to do. And I think it might be better if we had someone who had a very successful Snatch Game as like a guest, or someone who's more of like a character actor as like a guest to kind of help out. That might be kind of fun.
No, absolutely. That's where Jada...
Like, imagine... Cynthia Kiss walks out as a former Snatch Game winner.
Oh, bitch, that would be so much fun. Do you know the amount of times I would say, make me laugh?
Just make me laugh.
And remember, make me laugh.
Do you know what my kind of dream is? Do you know what? Like, hear me out.
I'm hearing.
I've always wanted to be the, like, workroom walkthrough person for episode one. As, like, I went home first. You know, what are you going to do to make sure you don't go home first? Like, that kind of thing.
Cautionary
like,
tale. Walk,
a cautionary tale. I want to be the cautionary tale that goes through and, like, looks at what they're sewing. It's just like, you know, this might be just two pieces of fabric wrapped around you. And we all saw that happen. Like, I've always wanted to be that person.
Ooh, I'm getting flashbacks from my season right now. You're probably going home, girly pop.
Yeah. Are you sure that's a really good idea, like, to do that? Don't you think you should do a little bit more? Wouldn't that be iconic, like me and Brad just walking that. Through?
I would love that.
Trevor, no. I know you're listening.
Do it with the queen of the season, Tracy.
Tracy Malshor.
But what would you wear?
The queen of the season.
She what would I dress you?
You're such a bitch.
Let's dive in to each queen's character choice for Snatch Game. We've got Venus as Joe Exotic, Melinda as Manny Pacquiao. You're still not over the Tracy look queen. Every time I see Tracy on TV now, I'm like, she looks sickening. Like, she looks
She
amazing.
Looks great. She's beautiful. Her looks are amazing. Is she the look queen of the season?
When I see Aurora next, I'm going to be like, you better work, diva. Get that airtime. Okay, but back to the list. Amy is playing Jesus. Mm-hmm. Luna is Mary Ann Cosby. Aurora is playing Emperor Zhao Bing. Kitten is Jennifer Coolidge. Neera is also Jennifer Coolidge. Coolidge squared. We've got Kiki as Elizabeth Taylor and Denim as Julia Fox.
So the Joe Exotic was great with Venus. I thought it was super fun.
Our thoughts on Snatch Game.
I thought it was super fun, really passable. I don't think it was a winner, but... I thought she was funny. And it's something I didn't expect from Venus.
I thought she did an amazing job. I thought her banter was really strong. The character was on point. It was very yes and energy with the improvisation. Overall, just loved it. I thought she was great. Made me really proud.
Melinda as Manny Pacquiao.
Pacquiao. I don't know why. But I loved this. I loved this character. At first, I was like, what's happening? The first round, I wasn't sure. I thought it was a bit Ako Taco. And then I realized, did you ever watch the show Portlandia with Fred Armisen? Mm-hmm. It was giving me Portlandia energy. There was something about this character choice, the nuance, the like direct eye contact with Brad, talking about his eyes and lips. Like, you could tell it was making everyone kind of like, I don't want to say uncomfortable, but Melinda was swinging big choices. Mm-hmm. And eventually it started to make everyone crack up because it was just like, this is unhinged. Like, whatever's going on right now, this is unhinged. And I loved it.
Well, she was almost so serious that it became funny.
That's
like, when she says, this Jesus looks like Mike Tyson.
Oh, that's
and everybody broke. Yeah. I was like, she won.
That was the TKO. That was the total knockout. That right there, it took it home. Like, when you make
even when like
break,
Jesus started grabbing her and she was like, this isn't my Jesus, don't touch me, like, I was like, oh bitch.
If you can get that footage of other drag queens breaking character laughing as you're doing your answer, it's in the bag. Like, that's when it's that's when editing slices it together and it's like, she killed it. What did we think of it. Amy as Jesus?
I thought it was cute.
Yeah,
it was cute, passable, super fun.
I thought it was fun at first to do like the femme thing. It was kind of like Trinity when she
I'm
was
happy
the devil.
She did. Yeah.
When she was like the devil and super femme, like, it's a fun like misdirect. You're obviously not going to think Jesus is going to be like this flaming mo, but I loved it.
Well, when she had said she was like, I'm going to be Jesus, I was like, oh, don't be super serious, Jesus. And then she went, I've always wanted to do this. I was like, oh, thank God, you know? So I was happy she went for that choice. Because if she was just like super serious Jesus, I'd be like, snore.
Yeah. Are we in church?
You know? Do you know where we are, though? In church with Miss
Luna Dubois. Marianne Cosby.
All season, we have been saying that she is a Real Housewife, that she is on the wrong show. And then she said, you know what? I am a Real Housewife. And she, and I was like, period, babe, period.
Okay, unpack this for me. What did we think?
Oh, it was bad. It was bad. But
she's such a Real Housewife that it's almost like for Snatch Game, you need to be something like crazy that's not who you are. Like, was it too close to her real like energy as a performer that it didn't feel like a character?
My thing is like, Luna's hilarious. Like, if you ever get a one-on-one with Luna, she makes me crack up. Like, she has me in stitches funny. But she has a very dry, like, slow sense of humor. Like, you really got to listen to what she's... Yeah, she has a very dry sense of humor. It's hilarious. She's really funny, and she knows how to make you laugh, and she's got a... And she'll laugh along with you. But it's not really... A dry sense of humor on Snatch Game is hard.
Yes. No, you actually need to go big and zany, like over the top. That's what I mean about Melinda's big swings. That's why it works.
Yeah. Like, hers was dry, but hers were big swing dry, you know?
I would even say Melinda's weren't dry. They were like, they were committing to a bit. Whereas Luna, I wanted her to like crank the volume up, like something be more, whatever that is, like either be like more bitchy, more intoxicated, more happy, like something just heightened, like a hyperbole happening. I think that's a good...
She could have almost even played off the "this isn't my Jesus" kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know,
again, like,
I don't know who this man is. Yeah.
What did we think of Aurora?
Ooh, rough.
I have a thing with baby talk. I don't love it. I don't love baby talk. It's like, it's one of those things that like, for me, I think because she wasn't like pronouncing her R's, like she was talking like a little kid. I can't really do it. But she was playing like a toddler. I felt like she got trapped in that voice. And then it felt almost very like educational, like very accurate. Like it was like a cool drama piece that you would do in school to like actually...
She's an actress.
Truly. But it felt like educational. It almost felt like a school assignment and I'd be entertained. But for the Snatch Game, it's just the wrong vibe.
I giggled a bit when she was talking about her character and like eye roll, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this. But then when she actually got to do it, I was just kind of like...
I also thought she was going to put her head right on the table, like in her walkthrough, and be like actual baby size. And then for the
I would have preferred that.
Yeah, I thought she could have done a bit more like physical comedy that way. Instead of... It kind of looked like she was more upright and just did the hands. I wonder if that was like a choice because she needed to like sit like that for so long. Because Snatch Game is like 3 hours and change to film that thing. Like, it's a long time. So maybe that's why.
Maybe. I don't know. She could have got an Apple box though and sat on the ground. But it might have been for like camera angles or something. I don't know. But I would have preferred if she was just the head with the fingers. But either way, it was a rough watch.
Every time she talked, they cut to Brad like wincing in pain. It was so unfair.
Yeah, I know. There was moments where I would like hide my eyes where I was like, oh.
I know. But we love a queen that commits. Because what I'm going to say is her and Luna, the difference is like Aurora was actually like pushing a character. It might not have been one that we loved, but at least it was like full send, you know?
Big swings. Lots of misses, but big swings. Now, what did you think of our first Jennifer Coolidge kitten?
Here's the thing. When there's going to be two of you, you're going to compare. You have to. I say kitten took that. She looked more like Jennifer. She had more of the like energies of Jennifer. I thought Neera did a fabulous job as well. But there was something about the way Kitten kept being prompted first. It kept feeling like Neera was almost like an afterthought. She didn't even get introduced properly. Like, it was like, we have Jennifer and another Jennifer. Next, we have Elizabeth Taylor. Like, it was just... They completely kind of didn't give her beat because she was then piggybacking off of like this other character choice. I felt like Nira didn't get as much airtime.
Can I be honest?
Lay it on me, of course.
I preferred Nira's.
I thought they were both great.
But I liked Nira's look better, and I thought her vocalization of Jennifer was better. I didn't think that, and I thought her, and I didn't think that Kitten's look gave me Jennifer. It kind of gave me like I didn't like the wig, I didn't like the placement, I didn't like the rooting. The makeup didn't really give me Jennifer either. I felt like Nira had a better overall look, mm-hmm. especially with like the like pursed like like face, mm-hmm. and then like the tits and everything. Like it was more young Jennifer, definitely. It was more like best in show Jennifer.
Yeah.
And I thought her jokes were a little bit funnier, and I thought she was really good at playing off Kitten. Like Kitten kept getting prompted for the jokes, but I felt like Nira was really good at playing with her. Like with the hot dog, she was like, oh, give me some of that. Like I thought that she was really good. So I was really surprised when they preferred Kitten over her. I was like, oh.
I would have loved a moment where they like mirrored each other, like started doing like a slow like,
You're gorgeous.
I've never seen a prettier woman in my life. Like, you know, like just
yours
really...
is really good.
Thanks. Maybe I'll do her on Snatch Game. Only if another queen's doing it.
That's the thing. If we go on together, you and I, dueling Jennifers.
Jennifer Coolai.
Jennifer Coolai. Oh, no.
So that's the only thing. I wanted them to have a little more fun with each other, but I think the competitive side of each girl was a little scared there because it was like, don't make her look great. Like, I need to be like the strong Jennifer here. So I thought that was a funny dynamic.
But what have made them both stronger is the playing off of each other. It would have been, I think if they played it off each other more, I think the top three would have been Nira, Kitten, and Melinda. Yeah.
I still think Venus was strong, though.
Venus was strong, but I feel like Kitten and Nira had an opportunity to demolish everybody with two Jennifers. And I feel like they took advantage of it a little, but they could have done more.
I know, a bit more. What did we think of Kiki Ko as Elizabeth Taylor?
Well, speaking of a bit more, ooh, wow.
We needed way more.
We needed way more.
I don't know what was going on. It just wasn't the voice thing. I've never heard Elizabeth Taylor talk like that. Like, did she sound like that when she was older? Like, very.
I'm gonna be really honest. Bleh. I don't even remember what she sounds like.
Yeah, like I just thought she was just like a Hollywood actress, kind of like regal, fancy.
Like I would have given her that old Hollywood accent, that like, you know, like how exactly. Judy Garland
talked.
Yeah. What are you doing? I went a little Jersey there, but.
What do you mean, Snatch Game? Like, you know, just
kind of kind of like that.
Something.
Yeah.
Something. I don't know. There was one of her answers where she just was like, oh, yeah, I love my gay people.
Okay.
It was a clunker. Clunky. Yeah. It didn't go anywhere. But I don't think Kiki would ever call herself a comedian. She has so many strengths as a drag queen. This just isn't it. So it's okay. We just saw her literally make couture in the design challenge last week. So I like seeing a vulnerable side of Kiki. It actually makes me feel better as a performer. I'm like, good, you're not amazing at everything.
Humanizes her, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, A for effort. And last but not least, what do we think of Julia Fox by Denim?
I think it was a masterpiece.
Okay, but did she say that? Did she say the masterpiece line? Okay, I was like feverishly writing notes and I was like replaying. I was like, wait. Did she say it's a masterpiece? Okay, good.
I'm pretty sure she did.
I would hope so.
Yeah, but actually, I will say I was on Twitter this morning and I saw Denim had actually written out some beats that were edited out. So some editing room floor moments because I was really watching and I thought that
she had like
I thought Denim was so good and we weren't seeing a lot of her. And I was just like, She says, for a snatch game, I rigged the glove around my neck so I could put my hand in it and kept choking and slapping myself with it. I also pulled rats out of my clothes and introduced them as my roommates and threw my extra pube at Jesus. Whoa. So I feel like she had a lot more beats that we just didn't see, which is a bummer because I thought she was really good.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was thinking this morning that she got kind of like the Kendall edit from my season where it was like, like one answer. Like how many times did we cut to Julia?
Like one, twice maybe? Because she said pubes and like another answer and introduced herself.
Also, do you remember I will when say, Julia Fox Kendall was said my one answer? Was my answer or my new character choice if I ever went back to do Snatch Game?
And now you can't do it?
Maybe I'll do it, but as like an actual fox.
Okay, big swing. Big swing. Think that one might be a miss.
And then just like be Julia, but be like a furry at the same time.
Julia like, Fox. I just get caught, it.
I just caught this rat. Like pretend she ate it. Be like, it's a masterpiece. I don't know. Like I feel like something with a twist. But love to see it. Love the character choice. Because she's fun. Mm. Julia Fox is like over the top. Really hilarious. She's got a lot of sound bites. She reminds me of like what I liked about Rachel Zoe. You kind of know her enough, but then you can make it your own. But that's crazy about all the editing.
Yeah, that's what she had said. That those kind of ended on the editing room floor, which
I'm
is
sure
wild.
Kiki wished some of her answers were left on the editing room floor.
Fucking Luna too. Luna's just like fuck.
Yeah.
But with that being said, that was the Snatch Game. I thought it was pretty good. Yeah, for being like, I would say one of the best seasons of Canada's Drag Race, it was a very passable Snatch Game.
Oh, totally. The main performing is in the workroom in this season. Mm-hmm. Like, that's when they really shine. They may not give us character work, but they, like, themselves are the characters. So I think that's the thing about a season. It's like a tipping scale. Not everyone's good at everything.
A dance.
A tango. But I did think, like, I don't think we've talked enough about Melinda. That was, again, Portlandia energy. It was giving me like Fred Armisen, like character work, characterization. It was very strange but hilarious. And then, like you said, when they looked over at Amy and said, "This is not my Jesus, you are Mike Tyson,"
looks like Mike Tyson.
It just sealed the deal. I was like, "There's no way around it. You officially played amongst the cast the best." Because that's the thing. If you can banter with other people, that kind of shows you know your character more. You know? Like, I didn't see Elizabeth Taylor, like, you know, talking to the cool eye, right? Like, it just was like, where's the banter? Where's the interaction?
Elizabeth, I love the gays too.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, Elizabeth, you owe me $20. Remember that time? Like, you know, you're just like, I don't know. Everyone's got to talk to each other more. I think there's, like, more options for that. But
yeah, but we get to the mirror chats and they kind of dive into this conversation about cancel culture.
Dun, dun.
Which like I hate the word cancel culture because I feel like there's this like fear mongering around it. I feel like there's a cancel culture is more just accountability. You know, it's people asking you for being accountable for things that you've done and bettering yourself from those. I feel like sometimes that accountability can go a little crazy. It can turn into a mob. Sometimes things can go a little off the rails because things aren't, it's almost like the fandom feels like they're owed these, our lives, you know, and they're owed those things. And that's what that cancel culture is, you know, that they're like, you owe us this because you've done this. Mm-hmm. Right. But they're not with us throughout every day. They're not with us through the work that we do off camera, off social media. So that's where it kind of gets blurry for me.
Yeah. I feel like it's sometimes, here's the thing. I love your point about accountability. I think if someone does make a mistake, the intention wasn't to do so, but it happens. We're all perfectly imperfect as people. As long as there's like an acknowledgement of the injury, the thing that's gone wrong, and then an attempt to do better, like action behind 100%. It, that's where it's like anyone can kind of, I would hope, be given the graces to do so. There are some offenses that are just a bit extreme where they're, you know, this is case by case.
100%.
But I think if the culture is becoming, you know, let's cancel a person for doing one thing and then they never get to come back, it's kind of scary because then we as artists are scared to, remember our thing about Snatch Game, make big swings, like take these, you know, artistic choices that maybe, mm-hmm. you know, they might be out of pocket, but then the next one might be so brilliant and funny that it, I don't know, it changes a girl's career for the better. So it's like, yeah. cancel culture can sometimes kind of water down, I think, what we're all willing, the risks we're willing to take. So I think mm-hmm. Kind of the phase two of cancel culture, because I feel like during the pandemic, we were so all tapped in online that like people, backlogged, found receipts and everything started to come out. Like a lot of online personalities were starting to get quote unquote canceled. And I think it's important to acknowledge when, you know, decisions are kind of out of touch, you know, time, it's comedy, it's these things that are very timely. And then when you go back mm-hmm. in time, they seem like super inappropriate because things are always progressing. You know, jokes yeah. said 10 years ago wouldn't fly because we as culture have kind of evolved. And that's a beautiful thing. But it's also scary when you're being held to a standard 10 years back, you know?
Yeah. And even think about 10 years from now, there may be things that people say that in 10 years from now, they'll be like, that's horrible for you to say.
Right.
But now it was fine. But in mm-hmm. 10 years from now, they're like, why would you say that? Like things change and things evolve. And I feel like there is this like thing with like even kids where it's like we're so tapped into the internet that there's a lot of people who haven't had the chance to grow mm-hmm. and move through life and make mistakes and kind of learn through doing, where they try to get like I will not engage in conversation or like dialogue if it's like an anime profile picture and they're like a private account. Like,
well, it's all recorded. It's because everything is recorded. It's like mm-hmm. these things are, there's such a paper trail like of your history online, like everything is trackable now, like your whole mm-hmm. identity is posted online. So it's a little scarier. It's a little more permanent than I think we all think
it is. But when I think
I wanted to ask you, because with the girls on the mirror chats, they were all kind of anticipating this change in their lives. Like once the show comes out, everyone's more mm-hmm. people, more eyes are going to be on them. I know Melinda was feeling some kind of way as far as her freakouts days prior mm-hmm. on set. Did you ever struggle with this notion of like cancel culture once your season had come out, like feeling a little more quote unquote famous?
Yeah, because there's one thing about being like happily irrelevant, which is sort of like a funny way to think about it.
Welcome to Center Ballad, like, Queens.
Hey, is when you don't have those eyes on you. You don't have that pressure of never making a mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, of never accidentally saying the wrong thing, of mm-hmm. never accidentally kind of slipping up, you know, because you don't have like hundreds of thousands of people looking at you, you know. So when you're just like kind of the local girl, or you don't even perform and you're just like going to work at your normal job, you know, you don't have that pressure. And then the moment that pressure comes in, you're like, it feels like there's almost no room mm-hmm. to make mistakes. Because there's always going to be somebody out there who that one mistake you've made is going to just forever. They're just like, nope, you're done. I can't believe you did this 10 years ago. And it's like, okay, but I'm better now. Or mm-hmm. like, hey, I know I said this or did this. I know that that was wrong. And I, you know, I'm moving on. I'm going to be better now. So I think that it's a dance that you kind of have to play. I think as a rule, just never being homophobic, transphobic, racist, like just avoiding those things, especially those kind of jokes, which are just low hanging fruits regardless. And they're not funny. Mm-hmm. I think just avoiding all that stuff, you're usually in the clear, you know, there's always going to be those little times where you're going to just be, what's the right word?
Things can be up ignorant. For interpretation, like things
up for interpretation, or you're just ignorant on a subject and you've accidentally said something wrong. Happens yes. all the time. And I think that people just need to give each other a little bit more grace, mm-hmm. especially if you know someone isn't coming out of their way to act like that. There's been a lot of things like of people coming out and saying things online and you just see people rip them apart and you're just like, what if they didn't know? Like, give them a little grace. Totally. I feel like we could give each other a little grace, you know?
Totally. I completely agree.
Yeah.
But we love Melinda. I don't judge Melinda. Yeah. I think her freakouts were fabulous television. I'm sure she knows because like she's been popping off.
She should never worry. The internet is obsessed with her.
Yeah. Like
yeah.
main character energy.
We just went on a 10-minute cancel culture like moment.
It's passionate. Okay, should we go to the main stage?
Oh, let's do it.
Let's go to the main stage. We've got Brooklyn Heights being heavily inspired by Melinda last week. It's fucking Vivian Westwood.
It's I know, amazing. I love it. She came out with a tweet that said, this is fucking Melinda Verga inspired. I love that.
It was pure camp. Brooklyn posts her looks on the runway a little earlier than the episode gets dropped. And everyone was still feral from Melinda's design challenge freakout last week. And the fact that the plaids coordinate so similarly in Melinda's look and Brooklyn's look, it was like, it couldn't have been more planned. I feel like that coat in Brad's air quotes wardrobe for the design challenge was planted. It was a plant because it was so perfect. Wasn't it so perfect?
It was so perfect, but it almost felt like Brooke like was like, she, you know, she didn't plan it, but you know, she was probably just like, oh, this is perfect. You know, like,
do you
just
think
so
she
excited.
Would she switch the order of her looks? Like, does she have, let's say, like 12 looks? They're all ready to go. And maybe she like can change the order. Or does she say like for episode 5, it is the plaid?
I have a feeling it's laid out like episode 5 is this, because and she wouldn't look
funny.
At, I know, just like serendipitous, the, you know, perfect storm.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Okay. The theme for the runway. Oh, wait, no, we have to talk about our judges. We've got the look queen of the season herself. Tracy is here.
Tracy
Melshore. Melshore,
the look queen of the season.
The snack himself, Brad Goreski, looking
in
great.
In a tiny little skirt. Oh, love that. But it smelled great on that set. Sorry.
And who's our guest judge?
Winner of season 13? 12? Miss
Jada
Essence
Hall.
Definitely a winner. I forget what season. Oh,
this was so cool. I love seeing past contestants, alumni on the panel. I feel like it's the future.
I love it. I wish they were in drag, but I love it.
I know what you mean, but I felt like Jada did such a great job as a host. Like such, sorry, as a judge, such a great job.
Yeah, I agree. I thought she was very much, she was very supportive.
I just felt like she was bringing this vibe that I was loving from the judging panel. She was just more real. Because I think
I
she's
like
done
she
it.
Was...
She gets it. She's been there. Yeah, so she's like.
But you could tell that she was very much like, don't worry. This is all fun. Da, da, da. Everybody's great. It felt like she was very positive, which is great. I think that especially for a Canada's Drag Race panel, you need that. But she was very happy, positive. Happy-go-lucky.
Oh, you wanted her to be a little more.
A little bit.
A little more critiquey.
A little more critiquey, a little bit more.
Okay. But I loved her energy. Maybe it was just it was too positive.
It was a little sunshines and rainbows for me.
Oh, funny. For some reason, when she was talking, maybe I just love Jada and I just was just happy to see her.
She's a great diva.
So fun. But I do know what you mean about the drag. Would have loved to seen a little lace front.
Because her drag's just so good, you know, that I would love to have seen what she would wear on a judge's panel, you know? But the runway theme this week is steampunk, which I just am obsessed with. Like,
okay.
This is right up my runway alley. I'd be so excited. Because it's all, like, video gamey, right?
Yes. Isn't steampunk, like, an era where they didn't have, like, electricity, so gadgets and things had to be energized by steam? Like, coal and stuff?
Kind of. Steampunk isn't like a real time.
It's not, right? It's like made up.
No, steampunk is more like a dystopian fashion.
I thought it was real. Like, I thought there was like an actual time in history where like things were powered by steam.
No, it's kind of like a dystopian sort of like
Sorry, I'm not a history major. I don't know if that's ever been questioned.
Yeah, it's more like it's like you can have a steampunk film or a steampunk fashion or a steampunk comic. Steampunk is more like a fashion aesthetic.
Okay, cool. But it's not a real world.
It's
all,
not. No.
Got you.
There wasn't like this steampunk era.
I thought there actually was like a time in history where it was like things were only operated by steam.
No, steampunk is more like there's a mix of rusty metals and like I would say like 1800s like kind of fashion.
I think a lot of gears and goggles when I think of
gears,
steampunk.
Goggles, like cyborgy arms, but made out of like old school kind of things. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's not supposed to be a futuristic robotics. It's supposed to be like robotics if they were made like in the 1800s.
Question is, did these girlies kill it? What did we think?
They did pretty good. They did pretty good. I really liked a lot of them. What would you have worn? I want to know.
Oh, for sure. Okay. When we talk about Neera, I loved her approach to this theme because I felt like she was a character in a steampunk world. I felt like some people were a bit on the nose and were like, I am steampunk, and just like put goggles on. Whereas I liked Neera's because it didn't necessarily have like these, like what you think of when you think steampunk, but then like it was nuanced. There was like a little gear, but it was like hidden in her updo and like, she had edge. I liked hers. I would probably do something similar to Neera where it's like, it's glamour, but dark.
I would go like full video game character.
Of course.
Like full blown. Like I would go like, sort of in the denim kind of way, but more in the like, you've never played it, but like Kingdom Hearts. It's my favorite video game.
I love Kingdom Hearts.
Do you?
Yes, when all the hearts are in the kingdom, it's like, oh, I gotta find them.
You fucking bitch. I was like, there's no way. She's fucking with me. I feel like Kingdom Hearts would be really easy to fall into like a steampunk aesthetic. So I feel like I would do something like that. But with that being said, going on, denim. I feel like denim was very Carnival Row inspired. You know Carnival Row?
Again, I don't, but... It looked Carnival really Row cool. Is she looked a like show on a cosplay Prime. Expert. Like that was that was really well done.
Carnival Row is a show on Prime where it's very steampunky. It's like a kind of steampunk inspired show where there's fairy tale creatures and humans live amongst each other, and Cara Delevingne plays a fairy. Oh. So it kind of gave me that energy where it's like a steampunk fairy.
I see. Mm-hmm. Very, very cool. Very, very, very well cool. made. Looked expensive. It looked like a professional cosplayer.
Yeah, it looked really well done. It was beautiful. Next up, we have Kitten.
It was giving the
very, theme. Very on the nose. Yeah, very just like this is steampunk. I wish it wasn't made out of fabric. It was made with more like warbla and things that were more cosplay-y, because with steampunk, if it doesn't look like metal and it looks like fabric, it kind of looks like a costume.
Totally. It's like the Halloween costume equivalent.
Yeah, like those goggles are from Amazon. Like I know where you can buy those goggles. You can get those goggles. Like I've seen those. You know? So next up we have
Kiki Ko,
yes.
This was different for Kiki. I felt like this was a slightly different vibe. I don't know if it was my favorite thing she's ever worn, but like I love the versatility. And the hair was cool.
It was very steampunk. I loved it. It was very kind of dystopian, super fun. Pants. I love pants on the runway.
Love a pant. Next, we have Amy Yonce Chanel. And I think this was one of those looks where she took the notion of like steampunk equals goggles. And she put them on as like oversized, like a bra. But the goggles didn't really read as like true to scale. Like something wasn't working for me.
I didn't get steampunk right away until I realized that the goggles were her bra. And then I was like, oh, I guess. But it was kind of steampunky to me. Kind of. I feel like it was one of the weaker ones for me. But
was it steampunky or steam funky?
It was more like steam, like, you know.
Steam stunky.
Yeah. It wasn't like huge on it. So next up we have Neera Nuff, and this one is actually an outfit made by Diana from Circus Corsetry.
Oh my god. That's why. The boning, the corsetry, she looked snatched. I loved the
like mohawk hair with all the gears in it. And you're right. It almost looks like she's a character in a world versus the epitome of steampunk, which I get.
Literally. You know? Which I think is more exciting when it comes to a prompt. Like, there might be the first thing you think of, but you can dig deeper. Like, that's the one thing I always think with if I ever got the chance to go back, because it's like you get these prompts, but maybe don't do your like knee-jerk reaction. It's like, no, like make it a little more high concept. I think.
Yeah. Like when they say ugliest dress possible, look as beautiful as you can.
No, totally. That was like, I don't know. I was like on crack when I was getting ready for the show.
It's my favorite thing about your run. My absolute
favorite. It was the strangest choice ever. At that point, we didn't know what was what. But we have Melinda, and I feel like this is the best she ever looked.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like saying, like, you know, this is the first thing that hasn't been, you know, Ako Tago. Like, maybe, like, is that because the other looks haven't been so strong? Maybe. But let's put that aside. I think she looks awesome.
I mean, it's hard to mess up black, you know? Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's in the same vein as Neera. I feel like they both would work at the same brothel. Mm-hmm. I love the silhouette. I love the way it's styled. I love the way she worked it on the runway. Like, she very much gave presentation. I need her. And Melinda, if you're listening, I love you. I'm having a really good time seeing you this season. I want you to burn this green lip you keep wearing.
Yeah.
Burn it.
Yeah,
throw it away, burn it. I never want to see it ever again. It's I keep seeing it, and I think that her makeup, something like this would need a stark black lip, and this black lip she keeps using has a deep green undertone where the camera's turning it green all the time. You know, I want to see her on like a red lip. Like, give me something else. But anyways,
100%.
She looks great though. So next up we have Aurora. I love hers. I love the like spider thing that she's doing. It's super fun.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
Very cool. The arms, the structure. Hers had a lot of detail. Very impressive. And this was, again, something we've come to know from Aurora. It's like maybe her snatch game wasn't iconic. She's not a comedy queen, but we know we're going to get good looks from this queen. And this was no difference. She looked awesome.
And Luna came out in kind of the same idea as Neera and Kitten, with that sort of like black burlesque kind of like brothel vibe, which I really loved. I've heard some people don't enjoy it, and I'm like, I loved this look.
Oh, like too simple, too pared back?
I've saw some people with some dialogue being like, oh, it was too simple, and I was just like, I think it was beautiful. I love the mask. I love the hat, the short hair, the giant billowing sleeves, and her whole ass out, whole thing.
I know. It was the ass for me. When she turned around, it was like, there's the booty. What I appreciated was this was her first time showing a lot of body, oddy, oddy this season. Like, I feel like we hadn't seen a runway look from her yet, showing so much skin. So had this been, like, the same thing every week, I'd get bored. But it felt fresh because we hadn't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm. She has incredible legs. It's insane. They look rock solid.
Mm-hmm. You know? Muscle. And that booty.
Muscle. Never misses a leg day. But you know who never misses core? Venus. What'd you
think? The abs that I want. When she's in the workroom just wearing a denim jacket and nothing else, I was like, honey.
Oh, and a thong up to her midsection. I was just
her
like,
hip
bitch.
Bones. Oh my God, she's so cool. This look was neat. It took a second for me to fall in love with, but then I just decided she can do no wrong. Interesting color, cool hair. The mask, very Mad Max inspired, which is a steampunk reference. And I was vibing.
I loved the mask. I thought that the outfit was very Ariana Grande tour inspired, which I thought was really fun. Thought the hair could be completely different. Didn't love the hair. But
polarizing hair?
The hair was very polarizing. Yeah, I was like, oh, I don't love that. But everything else about it was great. Steam was really cool, too. Steampunk.
Do you think she like hit a vape, then put the mask on, and then walked on the runway to do that?
No, sometimes they have like those cosplay masks where if you exhale, it'll
create it pushes. Okay, that makes more sense. Yeah, I was picturing her feverishly sucking a jewel and then going out on the stage being like,
I don't
exhale.
Think you're allowed to do that.
That's what I thought too. Yeah, I was like, how did she get that? Although Stephanie Prince, tell her, because she was sucking on her vape the entire time.
So we get to the main stage and we find out that our winner is Melinda, as it should be. And our bottom three is Aurora, Luna, and Kikiko.
I know.
Yeah. So we go to the Untucked, and essentially it turns into this sort of like debate on if Melinda, who was in the bottom last week, should mm-hmm. save Kiki, who had saved her, or save Aurora, who honestly just had a little misstep but has been extremely consistent.
But is also competition.
And Neera, smart girl, is just like, I think that if someone is a front runner and you have the chance to push them off, you should probably do it. I was like, work, bitch.
Yeah, she's going for the jugular. Yeah. We love Neera. We love to see it.
Yeah.
What would you do? Save a friend mm-hmm. or save, would you save competition or would you, let's see what they can do.
If I knew the caliber of performing that Aurora could do, I probably, it's hard because Melinda's an incredible performer too. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I would have done? If I here? Wanted to get, I'm talking about the bottom three.
I thought you said Melinda's a strong performer. Maybe I misheard.
Melinda is. I said Aurora's a strong performer, but so is Melinda. Like Melinda has like the kicks and the tricks. So I think if I really wanted to get rid of competition, I would have saved Luna.
Oh, I
yeah.
see.
Because then two big performers would have had to go against each other and right. there can't be another double save. So mm-hmm. they'd get rid of one of them.
Okay. So Melinda ends up saving Kiki Ko. She returns the favor.
Returns the favesies.
She goes, thanks, girly pop. And here's the beaver. But, I mean, I get it. I respect it. I'm excited because that means we get to see more of Kiki Ko's runways.
You're like, selfishly, I'd love
yeah,
to. Just start
I'm
and
like,
leave.
seriously. Mm-hmm. And then we get Luna and Aurora lip syncing to Tate McRae, who I just found out is from Calgary. Did you know
who is a rising star right now? Well, no, I've known for a bit because she's been like really on everyone's radar. Right. Feels like everyone's really pushing the Tate McRae train.
Hello.
Well, she's starting to perform in like gay bars, which I'm just like, that's so smart. When she lip synced and fell into a split, I was like, work.
She's the new Britney Spears.
I wouldn't go as far to say that.
That's what the kids are saying. That's what's on the Tiki Talk.
I think sometimes we can.
No, I will.
Big swing.
The dance energy, I will go on the record and say I haven't seen a pop star dance that well since Britney. I agree. I'll second that claim on the pod. It's
and you
good,
know what?
Bitch.
It's super fun to be delusional. I think she's an incredible dancer, but there's something about Britney.
But it's that, I don't know, it was giving me like that same kind of VMA dance energy. So we love to see Tate McRae being used as
a great
song. Yeah, really
very
fun.
Great song. 10:35 is my favorite one. 10:35. Anyways, what did you think of the lip sync?
Okay, so this song itself kind of has like, I don't know, like underdog, earnest, I'm trying hard energy, like pop anthem. And there was something about a certain musicality that Luna, like when she like went down to the ground and like were shaking her cakes, it just didn't feel like the right song or moment to be doing that, if that makes sense. Like I felt like Luna was somehow like dancing to a different song. Loved seeing that booty shake, but it just felt like it wasn't the right dancing for the song.
I feel like if it was a ballad, Luna would have won.
Right? Because she has a stillness to her movements. Like she's mm-hmm. she's a little more slow. Like
if
water.
It was something like sexy, if it was something like a ballad, something softer, I feel like she would have won because she would have given it that sensuality. I think because it was such a pop song and Aurora is such a musical theater kid that Aurora literally like 10 seconds in, I was like, ooh.
Go. Yeah.
She took it. You know, mm-hmm. I was like, ooh, it's done. So.
I thought she did a really good job. And kudos to that wig being laid right, because she was flipping, dipping, shaking that head, and that headpiece went nowhere.
And as a hair flip girl, I was one of the people who helped teach her how to keep that wig on. So, just saying. Just saying.
She does do the tape technique like you do, I've noticed.
Yeah, me and Ivory Towers taught that to me, and then...
You taught it to Aurora.
And then Aurora, anytime people would ask, she would credit me, and Ivory Towers would get so mad.
She's like, girl.
She'd be like, I taught that to you, just like, shut up. And I'd be like,
what the fuck are you talking about?
That's a lovely
I love her. I love ivory towers.
But then Luna unfortunately gets sent home.
I know.
And she goes right back to her mansion in Malibu.
Mansion
to
in Malibu.
The Real Housewives.
To be the richest, classiest woman on Canada's Drag Race. It's Luna's world. We're just living in it.
We're just living in it. And with that being said, why don't we give her a call?
I think that's an amazing idea. Okay, I'm going to dial her up. Idea.
Okay.
Beep, boop, bop, boop, beep. She's got beep, class beep, and this season's greatest ass. Please welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens, Miss Luna Dubois.
Hello. Hi. It's...
It's me. So you are the real housewife of the season. All season long that me and Cynthia have been saying, like, I wish she was on Real Housewives because that's the fantasy that we were getting.
And
so,
you know what? It's spot on. I am Bravo girly.
So that's what I wanted to know. Which is your real favorite Real Housewives season? And when are you going to be cast on it? Because that desperately needs to happen.
I don't know. We have to talk to Andy Cohen about that. But I watch a lot of Real Housewives. I watch Potomac, Salt Lake City, Beverly Hills, New York, Atlanta, and even there's a Real Housewives of Lagos, which is a big city in Nigeria where I was born. So, yeah, I am very well endowed in the Real Housewives, like, you know, multiverse.
So if you ended up on like the Real Housewives, the Nigerian version, would that just be a dream come true? Like,
No, because I have no intention of moving back home.
Fabulous. Never mind.
Yeah. No, need to be safe and gay here.
You're like, absolutely not.
However, I will watch from here and support those strong, powerful Black women.
Love that. Love that.
Yes. But I honestly, Potomac is where it's at for me right now.
Potomac.
Those girls
Potomac.
Are unhinged. And yeah, you just never know what to expect from them.
Totally.
And you really got that sense of their inspiration of you in the show. Because you kind of had that like slight bit of just like unhingedness. Like when Amy would throw the thing off of her head.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then it's just you laughing at her. She's like having this soft moment and you're just like
I know. I feel like as you've seen, like I'm maybe the queen of the season that's just I'm always shutting shit down. I'm like, no. Yeah. That's not. Because I didn't really come for the girls. Like what I mostly did on the show was either instigate things or like, you know, ask the questions that nobody was asking. Prompts or no prompts, I was the girl doing that. But you might not see it as much in the edit, but I was truly that person. And the producers loved that. But yeah, but whenever some energy that I was not vibing with was brought towards me, it was met with an immediate swift, like, you know, comeback. But, you know, it's just how it goes. It's a crazy season.
It is a crazy season. And even just your speaking voice, I swear to God, I want you to read books on tape. Like, I can listen to you talk for hours. You give me Naomi Campbell energy. You have this, like, rich energy about you, Luna. Like, you just seem expensive. And Juice and I were obsessed the entire time. How much fun did you have doing the confessionals on Canada's Drag Race?
I had so much fun. Honestly, like, I'm such a rambler, like, naturally. So, like, I think the first couple of times I had to, like, you know, just kind of ground myself. And also, like, having, like, a... what's it called in the morning? A Starbucks, the pre-made ones, what do you call them? The iced coffees in the morning did not help at all. Mm. And honestly, thank God they regulated our Red Bulls on set because I would have been uncontrollable if I was just downing them, to be honest. But I loved in the confessionals. I was just talking my shit and my super producer absolutely loved me because I just... you know, made everything easy. You didn't really need to force anything out of me. Ask me a question, I always have an answer.
Absolutely.
He said, no, let's do this. Now, You and Amy, I want to get into this. You and Amy kind of had a few words back and forth for two episodes, and things kind of sort of got resolved, but there was always this kind of like air between you two where it was just like, I don't like your outfit. And you were like, huh?
Yeah, honestly, so in the moment, because I think from episode 2, we all saw that went out. I honestly, I knew of her, didn't really know who she was, but I knew she followed me on Instagram, but we're not allowed to follow any of the, any other girls. So I was like, no, I'm just going to wait till the show is done and do all that. So I got to the show. The first day we all walk into the workroom, and I've never met this woman in my life. So I just thought she was just another black girl. And I heard her voice, so I was like, gag, did not know that, but work. And then we were together for the group challenge, and I was like kind of like being like a team leader trying like to accommodate for her needs, because you can see in the edit, it just cuts to her. So we're not going to give her too many lines. Prior to that, she said she didn't feel comfortable having too many lines because English was a second language. So I was trying to be a good teammate to accommodate to her needs. And it kind of just looked like I was being an absolute cat, but that was not the case. But I don't really care for the edit. It's what happened. It was still shit in the end. But I think that, and her performance in the challenge caught me off guard, because that was not the energy, because her and Naira had words on camera, and after the camera crew was rolling the cameras off, literally yelling, it's just me in the center. I was like, oh my god, what is going on? You guys need to come back here, first of all, and get this on tape, because if our team goes down, this is what happened.
off camera.
Yes. So we had our Bristol boards, like, with our outlines and plans. Everybody had one to, like, you know, prepare what they had. So as you saw on the main stage, I was like, I was waiting for my cues, blah, 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 blah. I should have just rolled with the punches and just done my, and just done whatever and acted a fool, but I did not, which was unfortunate, but it's okay. C'est la vie. It's what happened. Amy all of a sudden lit up, and I was like, okay, this is not what we planned. And I was just like, in my head, I'm like, this is just going downhill. And it was just like, I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm just going to let this finish, and we'll deal with tomorrow when tomorrow comes. So that threw me off, and I was pissed. I was annoyed, and Nira and I, like, talked about it, like, off camera. I was like, yeah, was not expecting that. If I had known that was the energy she was going to meet us with, I would have, like, you know, mentally and physically prepared myself for that, so that we would be cohesive as a group. But that's not what happened, and that's okay, but it's what it is. And she came for me again, and that was when I was like, okay, this is, because I was like, it was so out of left field, because you can see it was right after we're done having our chats, literally probably gonna go de-drag, but she decided to let us know that I was the weakest link in my group, which I strongly disagree with, because my lyrics, I think, were very clever. If you've lived in Toronto and if you read those lyrics, they're very relatable. And I didn't want to have a typical drag race, drag queen kind of lyric. Like, you know, I wanted to do something fun and, like, you know, like, something that would be memorable, which it was. Before and after I left the show, it was the running thing on everyone's lips. The producers, the crew, was everyone was just going baby all the time. I was like, work, this is iconic. So I didn't know where that was coming from. I was like, okay, weird. And then I dished it back to her. And then fast forward to, you know, the beginning of this recent episode, I was like, again, I was like, mama, I took apart a whole suit and made that. I took apart a whole suit, and I was like, what is this? But you know what? I think she was probably just trying to have a moment, and it did not make sense to me, as we were the only two black girls on set. So I was like, I'm the last person you should be coming for. But for me, all race aside, once you poke twice, I'm like, okay. The third time, I'm like, okay, I just did not have time for it, which is why I snapped at her. And I think, like, that's probably why she's not, like, the closest person to me from the whole cast, which is fine. We can all be best friends, but something about that energy was just not the tea for me. But, you know, to each their own. But I honestly wishing her the best for the rest of the competition. As if I don't know what happens next.
Exactly. Yeah. As if you're not in the same group chat, you know? Like.
I love when you say you snap. It's like you still have this, like, calmness to you, Luna. Do you ever just scream? Like, I feel like I've never heard you,
I've
like,
never
scream.
Seen
it happens, but like you really need to like take me there, and like I okay. don't like to present myself in my worst form because that's just embarrassing and it's just not flattering to be honest. But like I will, like, you know, verbally, like, you know, have an argument or have an altercation with you, but like for the point where I have to like raise my voice, I try not to surround myself around people that would get me there because it's just not
smart.
It's just not helpful.
That's very smart.
It's like, why would you want people to like, you know, get you to that point? But in a situation like Drag Race, like that, when you don't really know these guys, especially in my case, like I knew of people and I knew people. Even Aurora and I were not close until after the show. So I truly did not have a friend there. So it took me a minute to like, you know, I'm not the kind of person that's like, hey, we're besties. I'm like, no, I need to observe and figure out who is my vibe and who is not. So it maybe took me the first 2 weeks to do that, but it was fine. But, and I found my friend and I'm really close to some of the girls, but yeah, I don't like violence. And even if we're going to have a problem, let's chat. We can have an heated argument, but like, we don't need to yell at each other.
But it could be just like over cocktails, you know?
Exactly. Listen, that's what I would tell people. I'm like, when you have a problem with your friend, don't tell them. Just take her out to lunch and then read the bitch down at the table. She's not going to walk out on you.
You're in public.
rather than like, you know, having a, like, you know, face-to-face moment in public or like just... Yeah. Like, once you're in public around people where you need to behave yourself, you know how to act.
Yep. I already know. If I ever get a message from Luna saying, Juice, let's get lunch, I'm like, oh, she's going to rip me to shreds. She's going to tear me apart. What did I do? I fucked up. I fucked up big.
But yeah, I will say, though, Amy and I, we did have that moment where we had a similar, like, you know, upbringing, which was very nice. And at that point, I thought, like, you know, we could have, like, you know, a real friendship that will, like, you know, that we can relate on, but then boom, another one.
And another one. And another
how
one.
How it goes. But I don't know why, but it's just what it is. Because I know we're on the show, we want to have screen time and, like, you know, have opinions, but I just thought, like, when you do that, you need to, like, you know, it needs to be based off of something. You can't just talk to talk.
Right. So, what was your favorite part of this entire experience, Luna?
Honestly, like, just being able to, like, be on camera and just serve. Like, I think, and what I went into the competition, I was like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to win, to be honest, with the way it seems, the way, like, you know, the Canadian franchise, like, you know, I think we're trying to spread the crown across the country, which I'm absolutely here for. So I was like, you know, go there, try not to go home first, look hunt and talk your shit and just, you know, treat it as if you're on The Real Housewives. So I think that was just
Like you were very successful in that.
So that was just my goal, because this was like, you know, this is the stepping stone to, like, you know, doing more TV. And it doesn't have to be Drag Race. I could come up with All Stars maybe. I just want to do more television and, you know, just work and just be the fierce diva that I am, because everyone's like, you're made for TV. And I was like, okay, Drag Race seems to be the only outlet I can, like, you know, use to get myself into that realm. And then once I do that, which I finally have, anything can happen. So it could be...
I desperately need you on the re-up of Real Housewives of Toronto. I need it.
Do you know what would be so fun? The new drag queen spinoff, Slaycation. That I would eat up.
Now, we know you're listening. We know you're listening, Drag Race. We know you're listening. We have somebody here who's ready and willing and able. I feel like you'd be fab.
Slaycation, just having to not compete and just have a good old jolly time. Absolutely.
Right. I feel like you're very much that energy. Yes.
I'd watch that. Okay, was there anything in the experience that you hated? We got what you loved, but was there anything you're like, I could not stand this? They took my phone away.
Snatch
anything
Game
you can
is the
say?
Most awkward thing ever.
Okay.
And it's like, because you see it in the edit, you think everyone's just in a role and just giving it back to Brooke, but no, it's like you do one question, then it's a pause until the next cue. It's like, it's hard to stay in character. And it's like very awkward. It's so much space. So many cameras, and you can't really see the cameraman because there's just so many lights. So it's just like, yeah. And if you bomb, it's like, how do you pick yourself back up? But honestly, watching it back with the edit, I thought it was going to be a lot worse, but it was not bad. Like, I had a few chuckles at myself. I don't know if I was laughing with myself or myself, but I laughed. And that's all that matters.
I think there was a lot of strength in yours. Like, there was a lot of people who were very good at Snatch Game. It's not like you were, like, Jiggly Caliente bad.
No, Yeah, that's what I was talking about with my roommate. I don't think it was the worst Snatch Game I've ever seen on Drag Race.
No, definitely not. Now, what's one thing about you that you wish people got to see? You know, something about Luna that you wish kind of got to be viewed? Or do you feel like they got the whole package?
I don't think so, to be honest. Because I think at the time that I left, like, you know, there was still 9 of us. And with this cast, as you can probably already see, like, you know, everyone's loud in their own way. And I can be the loudest girl in the room ever. Like, I don't like to talk over people. I hate being talked over. If I'm speaking, I need to be heard. So you can notice most of the time I'm always reacting and not, like, talking over people. Because I'm not going to fight for the spotlight. And by doing that, I just react. And which is why you see throughout the whole season, my face is in every fucking shot that there is reacting to something. Because, yeah, when you have girls like Melinda in the room, it's like you, the air is sucked out of the room. And I'm just not trying to compete for camera time. It's just not who I am. So what I would have liked people to see is for me to have made it a bit further with less girls in the room where I can actually, like, you know, breathe.
Settle. Yeah.
When there's actually air in the room and when it's not being sucked out, and actually, like, you know, just show, like, a bit more of my playful side, because I do have that. So I'm not always serious. And in here and up here, like, you know, it might come across that way, but, like, if you spend at least 2 hours with me, like, you will, you know, go home thinking about our time together for sure.
I remember you and I did a gig in Chatham, and yes, I have never laughed harder in my life. And I remember I looked at you halfway through the gig and I went, "You're funny. Like, you're funny." Like, I did not expect that. And you were like, "Yeah, bitch."
Yeah, everybody expects me to be this dry, boring person. And I'm really not. And I'm not the kind of person that goes around, "Oh, I'm such a funny person." I'm no comedian in any way. However, like, you know, I think when I'm kicking over the girls, I can definitely, like, get a few laughs out of you for sure.
Oh, I was howling, bitch.
So what's next for Luna? And please tell me it's a one-woman show called Full Moon.
Listen, there's so many ideas. I have had the thought of doing, like, you know, a one-woman show. I just need to get that produced properly and need some help. But I think that will happen next year. But I think what I want to focus on a bit before I do something like that is just more of my online presence. And, like, I've heard for so many years, over and over, even down to this podcast, the obsession with my voice. And I think I'm going to start a podcast in the new year.
Fuck yes.
Hey!
Hell yes.
Welcome.
Will, like, yes. We will, yes, listen. And, we will come
it's
on.
It's not going to be Drag Race focused. It will have Drag Race contestants on it for sure. But just, like, I want to just sit down, shoot the shit with the girls, and just talk shit. Because that's what I do best.
Diva, make it a Real Housewife podcast. Get Andy on your radar.
Yeah, I want it to be everything and anything.
I love that. Obsessed. That's fabulous. That's fabulous. Welcome to the wonderful world of podcasting.
I can't wait. I don't know how you guys do it. The microphones and the little amplifiers and the things scare me a little bit, but I think
we'll help
slowly
you.
But surely.
It's, babe, it's a microphone, a light, and a dream. That's all you need.
Yeah. Work.
And,
work.
That's it. And a pinch of delusion.
Yeah, ooh, a little bit of delusion. Yeah, yeah.
So one thing about me, my delusion has limits. When I'm bombing, I'm fully aware. I'm not gonna...
Oh, good. Good. We don't. Yeah. We don't. We're just like, we're in too deep.
Yeah.
I do listen to the pod, like, here and there.
Oh, so thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Speaking of which, you were dragging the girls for our little crowns. It was in the mood. And I was like, I have to address it with her.
So no, bitch. Never wear a crown.
So those are not crowns, in my opinion. Those are little halo head pieces.
Okay. Which I don't mind a halo head piece, but
well, that's
crown.
What mine was.
Did I drag you for? Did I say it was a
you
crown and drag
every
you?
Every single one of us. I was like, but yeah, I was like, it was in the mood board. I was just picking pieces of things I like from what I saw. But
listen, then I'm gonna talk to Drag Race personally. Don't make these girls wear crowns. It's bad luck.
Yeah. Don't make them part of the cursed crown club.
Cursed crown. Yeah. If you want to win that
though,
crown,
I don't feel cursed. Like, my elimination episode was. it was amazing. I had a great time, and fabulous. You know, I didn't go home looking like shit. It was a great lip sync, double save worthy, in my opinion, to be honest, compared to what we got last week. But it's how the game goes.
Oh my god!
Can't wait to see two queens go home next week. That would have made it.
Oh man, I'm obsessed with you, bitch. Well, but thank. Yes. That's okay. Thank you so much for coming on with us, Luna. We really appreciate it.
This was so fun.
Love you, Diva. Bye.
Love you.
Bye. Mwah.
All right. She's fab.
She is fabulous. And I want that podcast tomorrow. I will listen.
What's it going to be called?
I don't know. It's got to be something about The Voice. Like Velvet for Your Ears or something. I don't know. She's just.
Velvet for Your Ears. She's
fabulous. And she sounds like Naomi Campbell.
I know. I loved her call out. She was just like, you drag the girls for the crowns. And I was just like, listen.
There's something about her. She is sad to see this one go, but love I know. To watch her walk away. That booty.
Hey, I feel like she would have been really fun. But. With that being said, we know it's a really beefy episode, besties, so we are going to wrap things up. We have no questions this week, but if you want to be involved and have your voice heard on the pod, go to Instagram at semiqualifiedqueenspod, Twitter at sqqpod, and use the hashtag semiqualifiedquestions, or email us at semiqualifiedqueenspod.com.
If you want to come see us live, check out ticket links through our Instagram that we just mentioned. And if you want to record a voice note for the podcast, do so at www.speakpipe.com/sqqpod.
Love you guys so much, and we will see you next week for another episode of Canada's Drag Race Season 4. Bye. Mwah. I promise I pressed it.
Oh, it's okay.
There it is.
Oh. You're out of the sound.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
Sorry. Oh, shit.